Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
All right, put your hand on your heart and say, I fear you, God.
I fear you, God.
I fear no other.
I fear no other.
I fear you, God.
So I fear nothing else.
I want to jump into today's text, but before we meet David and Goliath, I want to give you some context. So King Saul, Israel's very first king, has been rejected by God because he feared man more than he feared God. So he disobeyed God's command to kill King Agag and destroy all the plunder. He listened to men and he took some of that plunder for himself. And so by doing that, he put the entire nation of Israel at risk. And so now they're in another battle. They have an enemy called the Philistines. And so the Philistines and Israel are going to battle and they're on this mountain. They're on this mountain, this high ground, and there's a valley in between. So neither army wants to give up the high ground because that's the preferred way to fight your battle is from high ground. And so the Philistines send the champion. They send the champion into the valley who taunts Israel every day for 40 days saying, who will fight me? And not a single person from Israel after 40 days, not even one person will go down into the valley to fight. So here's the if the Philistines champion wins, all of Israel will become their slaves. But if Israel's champion wins, all the Philistines will become their slaves. So, 17-year-old David enters the scene, and let's see what happens. By the way, any 16, 17, 18-year-olds in the room, just raise your hand. Can you guys stand up for me for a second? Y'all are my heroes. So imagine a whole nation of warriors, and it's going to take a 16, 17, or 18-year-old to enter the scene, and they're the ones who are saying, pick me, I'm ready. All right, you guys can have a seat. So 17-year-old David enters the scene. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things and the keeper of the supplies, ran to the battle lines and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Everyone say, great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. It's a pretty sweet deal. David's like, sign me up. David asked the men standing near him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? They repeated to him what he had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave this? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done? Said David. Can't I even speak? He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul sent him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line. Everyone say, I will run quickly. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. So what stands out to me about this passage is that the entire army was terrified. Not a single person would go out in the valley to meet their champion. So what was so different about David? I want to hear from some of you. What made David different? He knew who God was. What else did you say? Faith. He believed it. So he had been fighting, what other enemies did he mention in this passage? A lion, he had a bear. He had been fighting these private battles. Nobody saw it, but David knew. So I want you to think about, what are the things in your life where you have fought private battles? He is strengthening you through those battles to face the giants of this generation. But you need to know who God is and the secret place. You need to know who God is. You need to be faithful and full of integrity when no one is watching. All right, so turn to your neighbor and say, I'm here to win. Turn to your other neighbor and say, let's go. So today's message is called Slaying Giants, Win the Battle in Your Mind. So before you can go out and run to face your giant, your first battle that you need to fight and win is in your mind. So how in the world do we win a battle that's in our mind? I want to unpack three ways we could do that today. Number one is take captive every thought. Let's read this, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Let's read this together. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So how many of you guys have ever done like a demo day? Anybody? Like that word demolish, I mean, it's like a demo day. Anybody? Anybody like to smash things and like just break things down? Like some of us have that in us, right? So this is like a war term. When you demolish something, there's not like, you know, 6 inches left or maybe 1 inch. It's like almost, it's like, no, obliterated. It's like crumbs. Like it's just ashes, okay? So God wants us to do warfare on these things. Any argument, any false idea that comes up and sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So any single thought that comes in your head is from either one of two kingdoms. So I have over here, I'm going to go into teacher mode. There is a kingdom of light and there is a kingdom of darkness. Every single thought that enters your mind is from one of two places. So the kingdom of light, every thought is ruled by love. and it comes from love. And the kingdom of darkness, see if I can draw a lightning bolt. Oh, that does, it's where you guys can use your imagination. In the kingdom of darkness, it is ruled by fear. So every single thought that comes into your mind is either coming in place of love or from fear. So I want you guys to give me some examples. What are some thoughts that you've had this week? What are some thoughts that you might have had last year? And we're going to identify which kingdom they come from. So I need you guys to work with me. Give me some thoughts.
Doubt.
Okay, but what's like an actual sentence that would be like, this is my thought? Like, I can't. Who said that? Raise your hand. Okay, let's go. I can't do this. What do you guys think? Love or fear? Fear. Another thought. Let's go. Another one. They don't like me. Love or fear? Oh, man. That's a big one. Nothing will change. How about this? My friends think I'm funny. What do you think? That's love. Yes, let's go. How about like, I love this church. This is awesome. Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes, yes, true. So I want you guys to think about, okay, what are these thoughts? I have been in places in my life where I have the same thought over and I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall. It's just like, why is this thought like stuck in my head? And the best thing that you can do is to write it down. Because sometimes when you write it down, it does look ridiculous, right? You write it down, they don't like me, for example. Write it down. And then what does God's word say to counter that? So when you take a thought captive, you are telling it where to go. So our thoughts were never meant to rule over us. We are meant to rule over our thoughts. When the Bible says take it captive, what's another word for captive? A prisoner. Thank you. It is a war term. So, for example, we like to travel a lot as a family, right? That's what we have to do. We need passports. We need visas. You have to have permission. The country of Uganda does not just let us walk through. We need to show proof of our identity. So in the same way, when a thought comes into your mind, you need to be like, show me some ID. Like, I need to see that you're coming from God's heart, from God's mind. I want to know what, if I partner with you, where are you going to take me? So everyone put your hand in your mind and say, my thoughts determine my emotions. My emotions determine my actions. So if you don't like how you're feeling, you're like, I feel so depressed today. I feel so down and discouraged. You need to trace that emotion back to your thoughts. Where did that emotion come? It didn't just pop into your heart. It came from somewhere. That's why we need to take captive every single thought. And do not just let anybody come into your life. And by the way, what are you feeding on? Are you feeding on social media? Are you feeding on the news? There's a lot of gloom and doom out there, right? There's a lot of other thoughts. Are you feeding on movies that are inappropriate? Are they full of sexuality? Are they full of perversion that you know you shouldn't be watching? So if you're feeding on things and you're struggling with you're struggling with lust, or you're struggling with anger, go back and say, okay, God, do I have an open door in my life somewhere? Some of us need to close doors today. It's like, oh, I'm struggling, and I'm with the same area. I'm just struggling and struggling. But you have this wide open door, and you're saying, come on in. Day and night, I'm open. No, close the door. Check what you're watching. Check what you're feeding. Those thoughts are coming from somewhere. But you have control. God has said, you take every thought captive. Daniel, be my thought for a second. Be up here, okay? All right, just pretend that you're like, you got some chains, you're bound up, right? First of all, sometimes the thoughts are just running wild. Okay, so pretend like this is my mind in this room right now, okay? And this is a thought. Let's just pick one of these. Nothing will change. So first of all, I haven't chained you. I haven't taken you captive yet. So just run wild. Just run around the room. Just go wild. He's like, this is fine. Nothing will change. He's going crazy. I'm like, what? And I'm over here, and I'm like, oh, nothing will change. Nothing will ever change. And I'm the one who has been taken captive. This is not how it's supposed to be. He's running wild, doing whatever he wants. He's getting the crowd crazy. No. And I'm the one sitting here like, nothing will change. It's always been like this. This relationship will never change. I'll never get out of debt. Nothing will change. And you're partnering. And you are the one in bondage. Jesus is saying, get up out of that grave. He said, I called you victorious. When you died, when Jesus died on the cross, he said, you died with me. Your past died with me. Your failures, your discouragement, all those bad things, that the trauma that happened to you, it's 6 feet under. And he says, get up out of that grave and go rule and reign. He has battles for you to fight. But if you have not taken your thoughts captive, you are fighting a lot inside, internal battles, and you will never go out and take down the giants of this generation. So Daniel, sorry, I'm going to take you captive right now. All right, so who has a scripture that will take this thought captive? He's running crazy. Am I running around? Nothing's going to change. What is the truth of the word of God? What is the sword of the spirit that can slay this lie? I have good plans for you. Let's go. Yes. Let's go. Okay. Put some chains on now. All right. Now you can get down. By the way, the jail's over there. There's no food, by the way. There's no fun, no freedom. You just keep going. Keep going. I don't want to see you anymore. All right, you can have a seat. Thank you so much. So this lie that has told me nothing will change, every day I'm renewing my mind. The Bible says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So I heard those Bible verses. I want you to say them again. In this world? Another one? I can do? Let's go. I want you guys to pick up your sword every single day and slay the enemy. Take captive every single thought. So that is the first way we win the battle in our mind, is take captive every thought. The second way that we win the battle in our mind is to stay unoffended. Everyone say, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. All right, so I have a little object lesson. I used to be a teacher, so I liked visuals. So this beautiful from Uganda represents the bait of Satan. So the bait of Satan is offense. And in this story, we see David refusing to take this bait, not one, not two, three times. Okay, so I need a bunch of volunteers right now. I'm calling on, get up here. Just get up here. Five people. Five people. Let's go. One. Let's go. Two. Three. Yes. Four. I have one, two, three, four, five. Let's go. Okay. let's see. So I'm going to have, all right, Josiah, get up on stage like right here. You get to be God. All right. So you got to be really tall. Okay. You're going to be Goliath. Let's go over here. But you gotta just be tall but down here. Like, yes, there we go. All right, and David, who would like to be David?
Me.
Let's go, right here. Okay. So first of all, we have Eliab, who is David's big brother. All right, Eliab. So you are going to take this bait of offense, and you are going to say, your heart is wicked.
Your heart is wicked. Ooh, your heart is wicked.
And I want everybody to say, don't take the bait. You guys ready?
Don't take the bait.
All right, so next, thank you very much. Next comes King Saul. So King Saul represents the authority figure in his life. This could be a pastor. This could be, you know, a father figure. And he says, You're too young. You can't fight. So everybody's going to say, don't take the bait. Okay, last one. Last one is going over to Goliath. All right, Goliath, you got to say, you got to like growl this. Yes, yeah. Say, I curse you, you're going to die.
I curse you, you're going
to die. Everybody say it. Don't take the bait. Okay. Thank you guys so much. Y'all can have a seat. You did great. Yes. So if you guys noticed, this is a whole nother message, but Josiah, who was representing God, he actually was taller than Goliath in David's life. God, he had this shadow that was overshadowing David's entire life. So when you read Psalm 91, and he says, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest in the secret place. So David was not intimidated by Goliath. He's like, oh, I have a much bigger shadow over my life. I am so overwhelmed with the greatness of God. I'm so overwhelmed with the power and the wonder and the majesty of God that Goliath is nothing to me. Goliath cast a shadow on Israel because Israel was not caught up in the shadow of God. So I want you guys to fix your eyes on Jesus every single day. David said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. So whatever you're going through that is challenging to you, the Bible does not say, I will set that problem before me. I will set that person that annoys me before me. I will set that person who's trying to sue me, that person who's after my life. Don't set that before you. David says, I have set who? The Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I need you to do that every day. Set the Lord before you every single day and you will not be shaken. So how in the world did David get insulted three times like that and not take this bait? So this big brother went after something that actually David was defined by, because God defines David as a man after my own heart. Did you hear what Eliab's words were? Your heart is wicked. That was an attack on David's identity. So it's sometimes the closest people to you. How many of you guys have a family member you need to forgive? A family member who has spoken words over you that are the opposite of what God says about you. But if David would have taken that bait and said, like, oh, I'm going to show you a lie up. He could have just gone into a punch, like smacked this guy in the face. Would he ever have made it to Goliath if he took this lesser battle? If he took this bait of offense, oh, and what about King Saul? A lot of us have had ministry hurts. We've had church hurts. Like, oh, that, I'm done with the church. I'm not going back. Those people, no. So you take this bait. So what do you guys know about a fish? A fish who takes the bait, what happens to that fish? They're cooked, right? My Gen Z friends will be like, oh, they're cooked, okay? You're cooked. If you take this offense, you're cooked. You're done. How are you going to get up in the morning and go fight Goliath when you have this hook in your mouth and you're just laying in bed? You're like, ugh, I'm angry. I'm bitter. I'm offended. I don't want to talk to my mom. I don't want to see my dad. You're cooked. So today, I want to teach you guys that what the stuff that God has taught me, when you forgive, it is freedom. So you have this hook in your mouth and you are, unforgiveness is poison. It is poison. And when it says a root of bitterness, it brings poison into your family, brings poison into your conversation. The overflow of the heart and the speech will be poisonous to the people around you because you are full of offense. You are full of bitterness. So I want you guys today to forgive, to be free. Jesus says that he forgives us in the same way that we forgive others. The Lord's Prayer says, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Do you want God to forgive you in the same way that you're forgiving your enemy? Are we like, oh, I'll forgive that, but that person, like, I'm over that. But this person, some of us have said, I will never get over that. I will never forgive. And let me tell you, your healing and your heart, you will never get over it until you forgive. And I am living proof of that. The healing that you've been waiting for, that depression to lift off of you, that anxiety, that frustration, that anger, all of that will be healed in an instant when you choose to forgive. And we're going to have an opportunity to get to that. So some of you are saying, okay, we have these two kingdoms. I would love for all of you guys to be in this kingdom all the time. Jesus paid the price for you to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The end result of all these thoughts of fear, the end result leads to what? Leads to death, depression, anxiety, constant fear. You're paralyzed. Your movements are restricted. You cannot go out and accomplish the destiny on your life, the things God has called you to do, because by fear. But God says, I want to bring you from that kingdom. I have paid the price by my blood to bring you from that kingdom into this kingdom. These thoughts over here, when you have heaven's thoughts, you will be mighty in the land. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says that those who know their God shall be mighty, and they will do great exploits. That means not on defense. You're not cowering. You're not afraid of the enemy. You're not like, oh, what if my doctor says this, or what if this happens? What if? All that is gone. Because you're like, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I'm like exceeding. I'm like a victorious conqueror. I'm seated in heavenly places. I'm fearless. You can't take anything away from me. I have Jesus. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of sickness. I'm not afraid of poverty. The riches of heaven belong to me. I can do anything for Jesus. Let's go. God wants to set you free today. And in this room today, as you forgive, as you close open doors, maybe you're watching things, you're listening to things that are feeding fear. They're feeding perversion in your mind, and you're struggling with these thoughts. You need to close that door today. You need to forgive that person today, and you will be healed, and you will be set free. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom ruled by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you guys, it is so much more fun to be over here. So I want to tell you one story, and then I'm going to have a chance for you guys to respond. So God had brought us back from Africa to Asheville, and I was not happy about it. I wanted to be in Africa. And I was frustrated. I was bitter. I was struggling. And so I had these flashbacks of just all the disappointments in my life. I would be driving down the road and just begin weeping. And sometimes my kids were like, are you okay, Mom? They're like, did someone die? And I'm like, oh, you know, I couldn't even eat. I would come to the table, I couldn't even eat. I was just crying. I was so overwhelmed with sorrow and sadness. And actually the person who is here, Tim, who is in the room right now, he asked me one time, this was during COVID, so we're like on a Zoom call. He's like, Andrea, are you tormented? And I was like, yes. And I would never have used that word before. But he's like, do you know in Matthew 18, when it talks about the parable of the wicked and unmerciful servant? So the king, there's a story that Jesus is telling, a parable. There was a king whose servant owed him a great deal of money, like 10,000 bags of gold. So he brings the servant and says, you owe me this much. And the servant begs, gets on the floor, cries, say, please forgive me, I can't pay this back. And the king is like, yes, I will forgive you. But on the way out, the same servant sees someone that owes him a small amount of money, like one bag of silver, grabs him by the throat and says, pay me back. And he does the same thing, gets down on his knees. He's begging, he's crying, please forgive me. Please have mercy on me. I'll pay it back. And the servant says, no. And he throws him in jail. So the king's servants overhear this conversation and bring him back before the king. And the king looks at him and says, you wicked and unmerciful servant. How dare you? When I have forgiven you such a large sum, How dare you not forgive your fellow servant? Now I'm throwing you into jail, and I will allow the jailers to torment you until you have paid back every last penny. And so when Tim was explaining this, he's like, when you don't forgive, you are literally opening your life for demons to come and torment you. So those flashbacks I had, that constant sadness, disappointment, I mean, poor Daniel would take me on dates, and I'd be like, you never take me on a date. And he's like, we're literally on a date right now. And I was like, but when was the last time? You know? And it's like, I can't even tell you. God bless my husband. I can't even tell you. He could have jumped through rings of fire, and I would have been like, I don't know if he really loves me. I just don't know. I don't think you love me. It was like there was nothing he could do because I had built these walls of self-protection. I was very safe, but I could not receive love from Daniel. He could not. There was no way. He tried. He really did. But I also could not receive love from God. I could not receive love from anyone. I was like, nope, me, myself, and I. And I was pretty full of self-pity. And here I was, stuck in my own prison. So when he told me that message, like, do you know you're being tormented? I was like, what? I'm being tormented by demons? I'm like, I'm getting out of this. Yeah, I'm like, I'm okay. So there was a little fire underneath my seat. I was like, oh, demons. So what did I do? I went and I had a journal. I had like a big journal. So I wrote down every memory, every word, every sadness, every trauma. I wrote it all down. And I went to the woods and I was like, I was like, what's this going to cost me? That was me and God. I was like, what's this going to cost me to be free? I just want to be done with this. And you know, I heard his voice so quickly. He said, Andrea, what did it cost me? And I was like, oh, I was like, and I immediately started repenting. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. All this time I thought it was me, that it was going to cost me something. And I didn't want to let him off the hook. But it was me. I said, Jesus, you died, you suffered, you were beaten so that I could have your forgiveness to give away. And he says, freely you have received, freely give. And I have said no. So I repent, I said, I'm so sorry, like, I'm so sorry. So I was like, what about, I had some expectations, you know, because I'm like, you know, we all have expectations, whether it's our mom or our dad or our boss or our pastor or our husband. We're like, I just need five things. You know, these five things are very reasonable. This is what I need from Daniel, okay? He needs to do this and this and this. I was like, God. And he was like, Andrea. He's like, I want you to take all of those expectations off of Daniel and put all of them onto me. And I was like, okay, how does that work? Because these expectations that we have of people are really like hooks. And so they're in bondage, but we're also in bondage. And we're like, I need you to do this. I need you to say this for me. I need you to do my birthday in this way. I need you to do all these things the way that I want them. So I'm putting hooks on you, but I'm also a prisoner. And Jesus is like, nope. And he's like cutting off each one of those. And he's like, come to me. So this is a real story. I'm going to be so practical. So you know how you marry your opposite? So he goes to bed early, and I'm a late night owl, and I want to like pour my heart out to him at night, you know? So I'm like, so as soon as like our heads hit the pillow, he's like, and I'm like, Daniel, I need to tell you what happened today. And then I'm like, wake up. I'm like, don't you care about me? So here I am, and God has told me, take all your expectations off of Daniel. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, okay, God. I need you. I'm a night person. Like, I need to pour my heart out right now. But where, like, Daniel's snoring, and I'm so annoyed. And he's like, so I heard him say, come and meet me at the fountain. And I was like, well, what does that mean? So I get out of bed. I go by my fireplace, and I just lay down. And I just, like, receive from Jesus. I'm like, wow, Jesus, you're not asleep. You're not snoring. Like, he wants to spend time with, he's available. And here I am, like, I'm like, oh, Jesus, thank you. I worship you. Thank you for being here for me. You're my best friend. I love you. Thank you for loving me. And then I just got up, went back to bed. But guess what? The next morning, I was not frustrated with him. I was not like, you know what happened again last night? like that whole record of wrongs that I'd been keeping, Jesus was like, oh, just rip that up, honey. Rip it up. You do not need to keep any record of wrongs. Love keeps no record of wrongs. None. Not one, not two, nothing. So those people in your life that you have expectations on, you need to release them today in Jesus' name. They don't owe you anything. They are not the person to fulfill your life or fulfill the longings of your heart. It is Jesus alone. And he opens his hands and he says, the Bible says, I open my hand and I satisfy the desires of every living thing. And when Jesus opens his hands, it's not like a little, he's not giving you like a little bit. He withholds nothing. He said, I opened my hands. He says, Rosa, I'm not withholding any good thing from your life. The Bible says, those who fear the Lord lack no good thing. So I want you guys, worship team, come on up. I want us to respond today. Because some of you feel like you have these unfulfilled longings in your heart, and you're like, where are you, God? Where is my breakthrough? Where is this relationship ever going? What about my finances? What about my health? And you're like, where are you, God? You have people you need to forgive. You have doors you need to close. And as the worship team plays, I just want you guys, if that is you today and you're like, I have been in this mental battle of darkness. I've been dealing with despair and anxiety and depression and unforgiveness. I want you guys to run up to the front and to be like, Jesus, I'm yours. I surrender. I want you to take over all my thoughts. And I choose to partner every day with you to renew my mind every day. So let's make some space and let's just respond to Jesus.
As Andrea was speaking, one thing that I felt like I was hearing is that you may need to release expectations from yourself and forgive yourself as well.
Jesus, we welcome your presence in this place. And Father, we just repent for all unforgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you that no one owes us anything. Father, we thank you that you are a just God. And we trust you, God, with judgment, because you are perfect. And you have told us, do not judge or you too will be judged. So God, we release every single person. Father, every word that has been spoken against us, every action that has been done against us. Father, you said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So Father, we release our enemies. And we thank you for your supernatural love right now, God, supernatural affection coming over. Father, as we forgive our enemies, God, you give us love, that we can love them with your love. We can pursue them with your kindness. Jesus, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. So Jesus, thank you for setting every heart free. Thank you for setting my heart free, Jesus. Jesus, we repent for any open doors that we have left in our lives, God. Father, forgive us for not protecting our hearts. Your word says, protect your heart above all things, for our heart is the wellspring of life. So, Father, we just renounce anything that we've been opening ourselves up to, God, any music, any movies, any social media, any habits, any friendships. There's some friendships where we need to close doors. We need to walk away. Father, we choose you. And Father, I thank you that your word says we have loved righteousness and we have hated wickedness. Therefore, our God has anointed us with the oil of joy. So, Father, I thank you that we not only love righteousness, but we run. We hate wickedness. So, Father, we shut off. We close all the doors in our life, God, that have been open doors. We repent of those things, God. Jesus, we want you. We want only you. So just purify your bride this morning. Wash over us this morning. I just ask, wherever you guys are, just put your prayers in your own words to God. Just ask him, yeah, just say, I choose to forgive this person for what they did and all the things that happened in my life because of that. Put it in your own words. Just tell him that you're repenting of unforgiveness. Just put it in your own words and just make time for him today to touch your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Prayer team, if you guys want to come up and pray for people, that would be awesome.
Mayor, we're going to go ahead and close the service. If you still need to come up front and just lay things at the foot of the cross and forgive and let go of all expectations, you're still able to come. If not, let's go ahead and stand. Father, I pray today. I thank you for your word today. For your word sets us free. The truth of your word sets us free. And so, Lord, today I pray you'd bless and keep each and every one. And, Father, I pray that you'd make your face shine upon everyone and be gracious to them. And today, Lord, you would lift up your countenance upon each and every one and give us your peace. And I thank you, Lord, for the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ to guard our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless you all.